Good morning. I want to take this chance to introduce myself because a lot of people watching online have never seen me speak before. As you can tell, I am not Andy Driscoll. I did not gain 150 pounds and shave my beard overnight. My name is Daniel Henderson. I'm an assistant pastor here at LifePoint Church. My wife Denise and I were part of the team that launched this church, I guess 13 years ago, almost 14 years ago now. And it's been a blessing in our lives every step of the way. And I personally am excited to be here today because I have not spoken at LifePoint Church since November, believe it or not, because of everything that's been going on, because of our forced quarantine. And man, I'm glad to be back. And I'm excited to give Andy a break because he needs it. So say a prayer for Andy and Jen. They have a restful time and a good time, fun time together. And our topic today is super important, and I think it would be a disservice if I didn't start this in prayer. So if you will pray for me, and I'm going to pray to get us started here. Lord, you are life, and we want everything that we do today to communicate that. And I pray that the words that are spoken here today, the words that are sung to you, the worship that is given to you, I pray that it's acceptable, and I pray that it just reflects that you are life. That we do life together, and the only reason we do that is in your name, to glorify you, to give you glory, to give you honor, to give you praise, not only for what we have, but for what you will do, what you have done. And we just lift you up today, Lord. May everything that's done here today, may everything that's said here today honor you and be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We are in the book of 1 John, the letter of 1 John. And Andy's done an incredible job stepping us through the first 2 weeks of this. This letter makes it clear that John, the author, was a witness to Jesus and his miracles, his ministry here on earth. Andy led us through the first two predominant themes in the book. God is light and God is love. And today we will talk about God is life. Not light, but life. L-I-F-E. And I think a good place to start with that topic is to acknowledge first that God is the giver of life. Pretty easy place to start, right? Genesis 1, the very first book of the Bible, very first book. If you can believe the first four words of the Bible, then you can have faith that the rest of it took place. In the beginning, God. Right? And then you can have faith that everything else happened. God was here before anything happened. God created what we see. God created what we know. God created us from nothing. And that happened as recounted in Genesis 1. So not only can God give life, and God does give life, but he also chooses sometimes to take away life. And that's a heavy topic, but we need to acknowledge that to get started. We see in Old Testament scriptures stories like Noah and the flood. Noah was a righteous man. His family was saved because of his actions. But the rest of the earth was wiped out because of theirs. And God literally took away all the life except for his family on earth and rebuilt it. Moses parting the Red Sea. Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, out of captivity. And when they got to the Red Sea parted for them. They walked across on dry land. And the people that were following them to try to keep them in captivity, the water collapsed on them. God allowed that to happen. God created life. God took life. We need to be aware of that. We're not guaranteed anything other than we can be connected to God in this life. God is the giver of life. God is the creator of life. That could be taken away at any minute. Our key verse, 1 John 5:12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. Whoever has Jesus has life. Whoever does not have Jesus does not have life. That's cut and dry right there. That's the Bible's words, not mine. And everything that we look at today will focus around that verse. We see evidence all around us that this verse is true. I'm lucky enough that I get to have a lot of conversations every day. And I'm an extrovert. I love having conversations, so that's good for me. Denise and I talk a lot. I talk a lot with my coworkers, my friends. I text a lot. And I can't tell you how many times this week I have ended a conversation or a conversation has been ended with me with something like, man, this world's crazy. Or this world has lost its mind. All right? There's spiritual warfare everywhere we look. And some of it's in the form of having the presence of Jesus, and some of it's in the form of not having the presence of Jesus in our lives. Ephesians 6 describes this spiritual warfare to us. Ephesians 6:12 says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, the world we can't see, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. All of the evil in the world, the bad things, the darkness we see, there are spiritual forces behind that. Those forces fight us. And they want us to proclaim anything but the fact that God is life. They want us to say anything but the fact that God is with us, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and that we can do all things through Jesus who gives us strength. 1 John 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. I'm going to hit you with a big number. 2.3 billion people, billion with a B, 2.3 billion people in this world right now currently claim Christianity. They say with their mouths that God is life. We say with our mouths that a life connected to God in every way is our highest priority. 2.3 billion people. But can we really look around and see evidence that that many people proclaim that God is life? That is partly why John wrote this letter. Because we get sidetracked, just like the people that he was writing to did. We get sidetracked. We get distracted. Every day, it seems that we get further and further away from what a connected life to God really is. Starting back with verse 2. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Does it look like 2.3 billion people are keeping his commands? Now that's the macro approach, and I'm not going to keep beating that point home because I think you all get it. But the micro approach, the smaller, the more personal question that we need to ask ourselves is, do we live like we believe 1 John 5:1-3, that we were given life by God to love him and to love the other people that he created? Do we live like that? Do we live like we are the light of the world, the love of the world, and that God is life? Starting back with verse 4, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We are in a fight. Make no mistake about it. And there are winners and there are losers. To reference back to Ephesians 6 again, we are in a spiritual fight. But we win because we believe in God. If you don't already believe in God, You can change that, and you need to change that. You can believe in God. You can win the spiritual fight. Anyone who has faith in Jesus is given victory over the world, all the craziness we see in the world. God is life, and that life is given to us through a connected relationship with his son, Jesus. Nobody knew that better than the author of the books that we're reading today, John, Jesus' right-hand man. I want to read to you John 15, 1 through 8. And we're not going to put the words on the screen. I just want you to listen to this. I don't want you to get caught up in following or anything like that. Just listen to the words. But this is the same author, different book, John 15. These are Jesus' words that John recorded. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Those are Jesus' own words, recorded by John, about what a life with him looks like. If we're not connected to God, we bear no fruit, meaning we have no life. There are distractions everywhere. There are enticements everywhere. There's a better life here. There's a different church over there who's probably giving a better sermon than I'm giving today. There's more money over there. There's more status and power over there. Everywhere we look, distractions and enticements. The questions you need to ask yourself, are you connected to the vine, the life-giving vine? And are you producing fruit? Are you acknowledging that God is life by being light, by showing love, by encouraging and creating new life in him? If you're in the room with us and you've seen this, you're probably wondering, what the heck is that branch doing up there? Well, I'm going to tell you. I got some questions for you about this. I cut this off this morning from a tree right outside. Question, can this branch live? This branch cannot live, right? Can this branch produce fruit right now? Probably not, right? Can it make more leaves? It cannot make any more leaves right now, right? Could I plant this branch and make it regrow? No, right? I cannot plant this branch and make it regrow. But what about if I plant it, water it, put Miracle-Gro on it, make sure it gets the right amount of sunlight, control everything about its environment, would it grow then? No, the branch would not grow because I cut it off and killed it this morning, right? It's cut off. That's silliness to even ask those questions, right? But listen to these questions. What if I planted it, controlled its environment, watered it, gave it sunlight, gave it Miracle-Gro, and then gave it the right podcast to listen to, or told it the right pastors to listen to, What if I sent it to the right conferences to go to, the right concerts to go to? Here's a good one. What if I manipulated God through my prayers on the tree's behalf, on this branch's behalf? Will it grow then? What if I ask God, you have to make this thing grow. You promised that you give life, you make all things new, and that you will make it grow. I'll look bad if you don't make this grow. You have to make this grow. Maybe you were lying about making things grow. Maybe you were lying about that and everything else you said. Now, those are crazy thoughts, right? But that's what we do at times. We cut ourselves off from God. We don't live in a relationship with God, connected relationship, our very giver of life, and we wonder why we're stuck. We wonder why our communities are in chaos. We wonder why sex trafficking is so prevalent. We wonder why pornography is now normal and it's abnormal to not look at pornography. We wonder why our foster care systems and social service systems are busting at the seams. And we wonder why our churches won't grow. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Let me use another word for that. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and dies. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Anyone who is cut off from God is useless, good enough only to be gathered and burned, one-time use, for the fire only. A life disconnected from God is no life at all, no value, nothing. God is life. Those are Jesus' words to us, spoken directly to his disciples and recorded by John. And here, as a result of everything that he witnessed, is John's conclusion. Here's John's word, John's direction to a church that was off course. Start with verse 11. This is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. That's the verse we started with, right? Built back to it. Is my life, my pursuits, my wants, my desires, my goals, is that what really matters? Or is God really life? Do we believe the words in 1 John 5 that say a life disconnected from God is completely without value, completely worthless? I can tell you in my life that I lived 30 years without knowing what my real purpose is, and that's to bring glory to God. And I was brought up in a Christian home. I was brought up in Christian school. I was raised in the church every Sunday. I was a good kid, well-behaved, respectful, didn't get into trouble, made great grades, loved God, trusted God, but still didn't really get the point that my life wasn't my own. I really didn't understand that. I did not understand for the first 30 years of my life that God is life. Until I hit the age of about 30, and I started asking these questions. What am I here for? What is the purpose of my life? Is God trying to show me something, and I haven't been able to see it? I'm just too stubborn to see it. And then I started praying these prayers, these bold, huge, life-giving prayers. God, show me purpose. Side note, he showed me purpose through his word. God, let me know what I'm supposed to do, and when you do, please make it so obvious that even a person like me can't miss it. God, my life is not my own anymore. Use me for your glory. And then I prayed the ultimate prayer. God, here I am. Send me. God is life. Life without God is worthless. I want to Go back to 1 John 5, read the end of this chapter, start with verse 13. Listen to these words. These are incredible. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So there's the meaning of this letter that he wrote right there, to get people back on track and to remind them, you have eternal life through God. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. When you're praying those prayers, pray prayers that please God, and he will answer you. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death, and I am not saying you should pray for those who commit it. All wicked actions are sin, but not every sin leads to death. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. That's the whole idea of sanctification, right? We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world around us is under the control of the evil one. That's what we talked about earlier. Spiritual warfare, darkness, forces that we can't see who are actively working against us. Verse 20, and we know that Jesus, the Son of God, has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus. He is the only true God. He is eternal life. That's through verse 20. Verse 21 is one of the most brilliant verses that I have read in the Bible. In fact, when we were reading through this with our kids, it was like so convicting. And we usually read through scriptures with our kids and talk about what they say, but there's nothing you can talk about on this verse except, man, this verse says it all, right? And they're looking at me after I end that book, and I'm like, I just dropped the mic. I've got nothing else to say. You know what I'm saying? John writes this verse, and it's a mic drop moment. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. So that's how John chooses to end, instructing us how to live a life, a God-filled life, a connected life through his Son, Jesus. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Those things are all around us. Those things are in this room today. We battled those things to get into this room today. We've been battling those things for the last few months, right? Chaos all around us. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. God is life. There's no better way to wrap that up than how John ended it right there. These words are so relevant to believers. These words are relevant to non-believers. And also believers that have just gotten a little bit lukewarm. And we know how God feels about lukewarm believers. He wants nothing to do with anybody who is not on fire. These words can set you on fire. These words can remind you and inspire you to live a connected life with God. Verse 21 here is a verse that you cannot read and be the same after you read it. It demands action. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. I encourage you all to do that. Will you pray with me? Lord, you are life. You created life. You created us. You could take it away in a minute. You create new things. You're constantly creating. You're constantly bringing things back around to life. Bring people back to life. And miracles, Lord. I am so thankful for the words in 1 John. John, a direct witness to what you did on this earth and what you still do. These words are so relevant to us today. And Lord, as our culture has drifted further and further from you, I pray that we can cling tight to you, walk tight with you, that above and beyond anything else that we put in our minds and that are in our hearts, that you give us life, and that a connected life with you is what has real value. Lord, there's so much competing for us, and you know that. You see it. But I pray that we can honor you, that we have the desire to live a connected life with you. Lord, when we do so, I pray that you give us victories over the forces that try to hold us back. Give us wins. Keep us motivated to keep going. And just remind us, Lord, you are the real life source. We love you for that. If you haven't accepted Jesus today, and he's not the Lord of your life, you're not making him everything in your life, you can do so. Just pray the prayers that I talked about, that I prayed. Or just tell him, very simply, Lord, the life I'm living is not working out, and I know that I have no value without you. Guaranteed he will answer that prayer. Pray for value. Pray that he shows you your meaning and purpose. If you've faded away from him, today is the perfect day to evaluate that and to renew your relationship with God. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for being the giver of life. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Hey, LifePoint Church, thank you guys so much for being here with us for another week of LifePoint Online. If this is your first time coming and hanging out with us, man, thank you so, so much. If you'd like some more information or if you have any questions at all, you can either leave a comment below or you could head to our website or any of our social media platforms, leave us a direct message, and someone from the team will get back with you as soon as possible. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just want to give to LifePoint Church in general, again, you can head to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. You click it, and it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. But however you choose to give, we're just so thankful that you're on mission and you're a part of what God is doing through LifePoint Church, and as a result, what God is doing in the city of Louisville and beyond. So I love you guys. I missed you this week, but I hope that you'll join us next week, either in person or online, as we kick off a new message series called All the Lies. So we'll see you next week, either in person or online, and I hope you have an amazing, amazing week. Love you. We'll see you next time.